I'm not afraid.
Lord, those that are spiraling on the outside.
comes out of nowhere. But how many know God is still faithful? Come on, how many know God's faithful? The scripture says that God is not a man. Amen. God is not a man. Every promise in the book that God has made is available to us. That's why, because God is not a man that he should lie. And neither is he the son of man that he should repent. And God is so faithful that he has never put more on us than we're able to bear. So whatever you're going through right now, you can bear it. Tell the devil he's a liar. Tell what's going on in your mind it's a lie. Because God is faithful. And God will never put more on us than we're able to bear. But he will put the temptation in your way to escape. Hallelujah. How many want a way to escape? God is a good God. Amen. So I don't know how you came in this morning, but believe the prayer. Believe the miracle of healing. Whatever it is. Whatever your miracle you're asking God for, believe it. Because the Bible says God cannot deny himself, and neither can he deny his word. Can we all just say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen. We thank God for my wife being here, Tressie. Amen. I know that you don't know what she goes through, but I know what she goes through. Amen. I'm not talking about me. I'm just talking about physics. Amen. So don't go on. Amen. But I know what she goes through. How many know God is still faithful? Amen. All of us that have had her sickness that she has, amen, years ago have expired or in wheelchairs.
Yeah.
So we thank God for our good years. Can we say thank you, Jesus? We thank God for the blessing. Amen. The last time she went to the doctor, the doctor looked at the MRI, and when she walked in, she said, you can't be the person that this MRI belongs to. How many know we serve a mighty God? Come on, how many know we serve a mighty God? The MRI that took all of that, God said, I'm going to step in between. The MRI that had others in wheelchair, God said, I'm your God, I'm your Savior, I'm your healer, I'm your deliverer. How many can say thank you, Jesus? Come on, how many can say thank you, Jesus? Amen. We just bless the Lord. We thank God for all of you. Don't allow whatever your situation is to get you down. Amen. That's the devil's desire. He wants you to get down. But how many know, as long as you say, the scripture said, the joy of the Lord is our
strength.
The joy of the Lord is our what?
Strength.
So you know what the devil does? He robs you of joy, because now you don't have no strength. So even in the midst of it, I still got joy. Why? Because weeping may endure. Come on, hallelujah. Weeping may endure for a night, but how do you know that?
Joy.
Joy comes in the
morning.
Some of us in a midnight experience. But how do you know the morning is coming?
Okay.
And when the morning comes, I'm going to have some joy. Joy coming in the morning. Amen. We bless the Lord. So whatever you do, don't lose your joy. Amen. Don't lose your praise. Don't lose your faith. And this is the time we're living in. The devil is on all our assault. He can't get to us spiritually. So you know how he's fighting us? Mentally.
Yes.
Because God has a hedge of protection about us. Amen. Even as he told Satan, he said, I give you permission to do this. God will only allow the adversary to go so far. But he puts a wall of protection about you. Aren't you glad you know the law? The world can't take it away. sanctifies you. To bring your brother Alex safely, by whatever means, train, was it the train? And he came here, you know, he can't take anything for granted. I watched an episode on TV where a train plunged into a river because one of the boats hit one of the anchors of the river that supports it, didn't realize it. So when the heavy train went over, every train just followed one another right in the river. That was amazing. Right, one of the tugboats was torn in the air. Someone knew at the helm and didn't know what they were doing, and it hit one of the supports and weakened it. So when the train came, every train car went one behind the other. You know, they're going 100 something miles per hour, so they couldn't stop. Every last one of them into the river. So God is a keeper, Brother Allen. Amen. God is the way maker. So we just thank God. We thank God during this time of Thanksgiving for being a good God. Amen. The Bible said, in everything in the hands of prayer, praise the Lord. And we went up on Wednesday. We're supposed to come before to His presence where Thanksgiving. How many know everywhere God goes, that's His presence? Amen. So we should always have a Thanksgiving. And the adversary knows that when we thank God, it opens up the avenues for God to come into our presence. So instead of us thanking God, most of the time the devil reverses the praise and makes us complain. But when you learn to praise God in the middle of it, God comes into your presence. And then when God comes into your presence, He works on your situation. So in the middle of it, can you just say, thank you, Jesus? Come on, can we all say, thank you, Jesus? Amen. I can see you. But sometimes you might say, Lord, I never thought I'd get this bad, but I still thank you. Because it could be that much worse. Can we say hallelujah? So let us stand for our scripture reading today. Amen. We're going to deal with a very important subject matter for all of our lives. It's fighting the right way. We want to fight, can we say, the right way? When you fight the wrong way, you can't win. But when you fight the right way, you'll win every time. Amen? So we're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. We want to fight the right way. Amen. Not the wrong way, but the right way. First one reads, now I, Paul, myself, beseech you by the meekness and he said, I just want to do it by Christ, who in presence and base among you, but being absent and bold towards you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold which think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, they're mighty how? Through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination, and every high thing that exalts against the knowledge of God and bringing it to Lord, thank you. Bringing it to that captivity, what? Every thought to me. Lord, whatever you're going through, Lord, just help me be obedient to Christ. Hallelujah. And have it in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you look on things? Don't look at what's going on there outside. God is still in control. If any man trusts himself that he is, how many of us are Christ? How many of you trust that you are Christ? Let him of himself think this again, that as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. May the Lord have blessed to the reading of his word that the church said, is blessed already, may be seated. Amen. So we're dealing with fighting properly. Amen. How many want to fight a good fight? How many want to fight the right way? Amen. Fight with, Paul said it's a good fight of what? Faith. Amen. So as I said earlier, many times the adversary gets us to fight in ways that is not God. He gets us to fight, try to fight our own battles through the carnal or through the flesh. Amen. I want to go back. Let me go back to verse 3. I want to take a few moments just to break down some of these words into the Greek so we get a better understanding, amen? So he says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not walk. choose in decision, acting, and doing something according to self. Sorrows. It means we are acting negatively and doing it according to self and not according to God. That's the flesh. Amen. So whenever you're doing something that's not according to God and His will, you're acting in the flesh. Amen. What is of the flesh, by definition, is what displeases God. You remember James, Romans 8 says, if we're in the flesh, we cannot please God. So when you're in the flesh, I don't care how high, how holy, how mighty you are, you cannot please God. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Amen. So he goes on to say, not only can we not please God when we're walking in the flesh, but in short, the flesh relates to unaided human effort. Decisions, actions that originate from self are empowered by self. These are carnal because they proceed out of someone that's not in touch with God. So as long as you're in touch with God, you won't act in the flesh. But the minute you get out of touch with God, you will act in the flesh. Amen? And then we read in verse 4 that the weapons of our warfare are not what? Carnal, but they are
mighty
through God. So now the word for war, amen, is the Greek word strateo. S-T-R-A-T-E-U-O. It means fighting a spiritual warfare. Amen. Many times we read the scripture, we think he's talking about a carnal fight. But Paul is dealing with a what kind of fight? Spiritual fight. Amen. You know how we lose the victory? When we lose our spiritual fight. Because we think the fight is with the person, but it's not the person. The fight is with the adversary. Amen. The fight is not your brother, your sister. The fight is the adversary. Well, what happened? You begin to walk in the flesh. When you walk in the flesh, you cannot obey God. When you're in the flesh, you can't please God. Why? Because you're walking contrary to God. So you lose the spiritual war because you're not in the spirit.
Amen.
Read Romans 8 when you have your spare time. I don't have that. But read Romans 8. It's talking about walking in the flesh and walking in the spirit. And he says in Galatians, we ought to live in the spirit. We ought to walk in the spirit. Why? As long as we're in the spirit, we have victory. So my question today, if you don't have victory, how are you walking? How are we walking if we don't have victory? Because as long as we're in the spirit, we have victory. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So now let's go to verse 4. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not, we're not fighting a fleshly fight. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but
mighty
hand through God to the pulling down the strongholds. Now, if you're like me, you read this a lot, and you say, well, what a stronghold. We can all have our imagination. But as we've been doing recently, we need to let Scripture interpret Scripture. Because if we put our own spin on it, we could be wrong. But if we do a word study of what God is trying to tell us, we'll get the victory. So now you can walk two ways. You can either walk in the flesh or you can walk in the what?
Spirit.
There is no in between. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So how are you walking? How am I walking? And remember God says, but God, there is no respect of person. So if you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. And then you want to know, why is my life out of control, out of balance? My question is, how are you walking? So our message is going to actually come out of this fourth verse, and our top of our message is you are fighting with the wrong weapons. You are fighting with the, can we say wrong weapon?
Wrong weapon.
Well, there's a right weapon and there's a wrong weapon. And in a few minutes we'll go over the right weapon because Paul gives us that in the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, when he tells us, put on the whole armor of God. If you fight and you don't have the whole armor, you can't have complete victory. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
So now weapon here is the Greek word hapon. In Scripture, it underlines how God gives all the resources needed for believers to be victorious in spiritual warfare. He gives us all the weapons, all the things we need to be victorious in spiritual warfare. You thought the fight was with that brother, that person. remember Job? Job didn't have the slightest idea that God had planned on him before Satan. Job didn't have the slightest idea that God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" So this was not a fleshly fight, even though he was afflicted in the flesh. The fight was spiritual. The war. Because it's not a carnal fight, it's a spiritual fight. Amen. Somebody, you drive down the street, somebody cuts you off, you can't wait to get on the side of them to give them the mean, pretty, ugly look. Yeah, church people do that too. Yeah, church people got some of those issues too. But the problem is not carnal, the problem is spiritual. And if you can just rewind, look at somebody and say, rewind. When something happens that you don't like, you need a rewind. All right? If we can put it up on the screen, the last thing that happened that you didn't like, all of us got something we didn't like. We're going to play on the screen so you can see yourself. How did you react? How many of y'all know what you put on the screen? Because you put it on the screen, you use the wrong weapon. Come on, y'all ain't all that old. I don't always react correctly either. So I ain't gonna put mine on the screen either. But what I'm saying is what the devil has the church all caught up in is carnal, fleshly wars. When the real war is spiritual. And God has given us every weapon to overcome this spiritual war. If we use them, amen? Now the word that he uses for carnal in this fourth verse is sarkikos, which is a type of human nature, focuses more upon what I want and what I desire, carnal. And another way of saying carnal, this is what lets you know it's really a spiritual fight. Another way of saying carnal is that you're acting with your old nature before you got saved. That's what carnal is. You're acting the way you act before you went down in Jesus' name and came up a new creation. You went backwards. So when you're carnal, you're going backwards. Are you with me? So another way of saying carnal is you have not yet had your mind transformed. Amen. When you're walking carnal. So the question that we all want to address today is that God is weapons, but am I using them? And then I'm trying to figure out why things are getting so bad and why things are worse. Because you're using the wrong weapons. Amen. Instead of using the weapon of praise when things get better, a whole different. So we use it since everybody else uses our application. We use our application too. Now we're visualizing. Come without a vision to be prepared. I want you to see yourself before you got saved. How you acted, how you thought, how you dressed, how you did everything before you got saved. All right. Now the movie just ended. Your movie just ended. That's before you got saved. Y'all with me? Now I want you to play how you're acting after you got saved. Now that should be a difference. Amen. There is no way your movie you're watching now, after salvation, after Jesus took you down in the water, after he washed away all your sins, after he made you a new creature, a new creation, there's no kind of way you should be seeing what you saw before you got saved.
Amen.
If you're seeing it, then it's spiritual. You know what?
Amen.
I'm trying to make it as simple as I can. You can't get the victory in the flesh. You can't get amen. And he said, well, what? When you fight right, it's going to do what? He said, might do God to the pulling down of
strongholds.
Lord, we all got some strongholds that's trying to take advantage of our lives. Strongholds is the Greek word, archiroma, conveys the thought of something that's fortified. Y'all saw fortresses, right? You ever been up into a fort before? When they have all these walls, strongholds are something that's fortified. Stronghold, you can't break through a stronghold with your flesh. Amen. Let me use this as an example. You see this concrete wall here? This concrete wall represents a stronghold. Right? And this is what the devil is trying to get us to do. The devil all of us been fighting this brick. Just hitting it with our fist. Guess what you're doing? Nothing. Because that's a stronghold. That's an impenetrable force. So the devil's getting us to use all of this carnal ways to try to get spiritual victory. And it will not happen. The only way we can get spiritual victory is we have to use the right weapon. Amen. And how many know if I had a cannon and hit that wall for cannon, guess what? It's coming down. Well, the word of God is quick. Sharpen an edge to a sword, pierce even to the divine son of soul and spirit and joint and marrow. Only the word of God. Listen, medical doctors can't even separate between the joints and the marrow. They can't separate between the soul and the spirit. But when I employ God's word properly, it separates. Not only does it separate, the word of God will reveal the intents and the contents of your heart when you use it properly. Amen. So let me go to the seventh verse. Are y'all still with me? Actually, before I go to the seventh verse, let's do the fifth verse, because this is one of the biggest problems that every person has. Saved or unsaved is their imagination. Amen. Has anybody ever in their mind thought something was going to happen worse than it was going to be?
Yeah.
Then when it happened, it's like, wow, why did I beat myself up so bad? That's your imagination. So when you fight with the right weapons, it casts down imagination. Well, what is imagination? Amen. It's the Greek word logizome, and it means to properly reason, reflecting personal values, how the individual assigns weight and determines what they find reasonable. That's what it means. So if you want somebody to do it in English. Your imagination is stuff that you create in your own mind. It's not there.
Right?
Well, you ever have some of those situations? I remember someone, the doctor called them in, and before the doctor, they didn't get to the doctor, they were broken.
Yeah.
They were all messed up because their imagination was going wild. And they were scared, so I went with them to the doctor's visit. When he got to the doctor's visit, the doctor said, I just want to let you know I'm changing my practice to another place. But their imagination, they were already broken. They couldn't hardly walk into the place. That's what the imagination does. It reasons, but it doesn't reason according to the things of God. Because when it reasons according to the things of God, know we are Christ.
Amen.
Amen. So if we are in Christ, and if we are of Christ, we ought to think differently. Paul said, let this mind be in you that was also. This is the weapon that we use to get the victory. Why? Because it's not a carnal battle, but it's a spiritual battle. Now let's go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Now let's get a list of the weapons that God has given us for victory. How many want victory? Now, there are some partial victories, but how many want complete victory? The only way we can get complete victory is we have to use every part of the armor that God has given us. Can we say amen? So verse 10 reads, finally, my brethren, be strong in the
Lord
and in the power of
His
might. So my question is, whose might are you resting in today? Are you resting in what you can do with your flesh? Are you resting in His might? The scripture said the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what?
Liberty.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
liberty.
Everyone that has the Holy Ghost has the Spirit of the Lord. So my question is, do you have liberty? Are you free? Are you bound by some situation? Well, if the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty, you ought to be free. Can we say hallelujah? Against your neighbors, against your boss. No, the problem is not the boss, the problem is what? The wiles of the devil, because it's not a carnal battle, but we find
a spiritual
battle. Hallelujah. For we wrestle not against. Listen, your battle, I don't care what you're going through, your battle is not with flesh and blood. Amen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against power, against the rules of darkness of this world, against, is it what kind of battle? Spiritual wickedness in. Wherefore, put unto you the partial armor of God. You got to put on the what? The whole armor of God, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Having on the breastplate of righteousness. God. Not according to my own personal interpretation, not according to my own personal theology, but righteousness is what's right in the eyes of God. Can we just say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above it all, taking the why? Because it's not a carnal battle. You're not fighting a carnal war. The devil is throwing, every time you turn around, he's throwing fiery darts, trying to can't make verse. The 18th verse. You mean prayer is a part of your weapon? Yes. And then why? Because when you pray in the Spirit, you build yourself up spiritually. When you pray in the Holy Ghost, you're building yourself up. When you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're building yourself up and edifying yourself. That way when the devil comes at you, he says, you're too late, devil. God already showed me I got the victory. You're too late, devil. Because this morning, when I was in my private devotion, when I was talking to Jesus, he gave me a forward fraction of what the events that are taking place. So it's too late for you to get the victory. I mean, God already showed me that I'm more than a conqueror. Why? Because I pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And when I pray, God showed me I have victory. Those are the right weapons. If you use anything else, you're going to lose every time. Can we say hallelujah? So Paul goes on to say now, when you learn to pray right, how many want to pray right?
Yes.
How many of us want to fight right?
Hallelujah.
Listen, just think of all the battles we lost, and then see how you fight.
Jesus.
Look at all the battles you lost, and think, how did you fight? Amen. Paul says in Ephesians, the 4th chapter, when we do any, I'm going to refer to this, he talks about us doing things. Now, once we get saved, we become a new creature. Amen? Now, Paul says, when we become a new creature, if we act like we acted before we got saved, he said, you have not learned Christ. Amen? So the question is, I want a victory, I want to overcome, but I'm fighting the wrong way because I have not learned Christ. What do you mean? I haven't experienced that when I yield myself over to God, when I let God have control of my life, I come out a winner every time at the finishing line. But the devil don't want you to yield over to God. He wants you to hold on so you feel as though you're in control. And as long as you're in control, guess what? You're out of control. Because you think you're winning by fighting physically. You think you're winning by fighting a fleshly battle, but look at somebody and say, you can't win that way.
Yeah.
Come on, you can't win that way. If you want to win, you got to fight like God gave us the weapons to fight. Now, by the way, if you go over the armor, God covers everything but the what? But the back. Why? Because we, a child of God is supposed to go what?
Forward.
Amen. So once you get saved, you should never have the temptation to turn around. If you turn around, you're not using the right weapons. Amen. Then when you turn around, you expose your back. Because God never protected the back. Why? He intends for us to go forward. No matter how bad it gets, keep going forward. No matter how trying it gets, keep going forward. Amen. If you y'all with me?
Amen.
Now, this came to me this morning as I was praying. I started driving when I was 12 years old. Right? 12 years old, I was driving illegal for years. Drove all over the place, hundreds and hundreds of miles. Driving all the time illegal. Amen. So finally, when I got about 19 to 20, I decided to get legal. Right? Took the test, passed it with flying colors. Went on the road test. Been driving for 7 years. Went on the road test. Failed the test. Why? Because I've been driving, but I never learned the right way. So when I took the road test, I drove from Atlanta to Columbus. I drove from Troy to Rochester. I never drove anywhere. Back then, they didn't have picture IDs, so you just borrowed your friend that was close to your height and size. They made picture of me, so just walking. Come on, I ain't the only one that did that. Now, young people don't know this, but y'all older people did the same thing. All right, I'm just telling myself, but I did it. Drove all over the place. Where have you got to? How to drive? Jumped in that car? And the guy said, your car. You failed this test. Something wrong with that instructor, so he gave me another instructor. Failed that test, too. Because I thought I knew how to drive. But I had never learned to drive the right way. So after I failed use your tongue for was to do what? Pray. Right? Right? He said, praying always. Right? So everything, right, if you want to do something, there's a gospel at your feet. But the only time you're supposed to use your tongue is to pray and to lift up and to edify. Amen. If you use your tongue for anything else, the wrong weapon. All right, that must be a bad one. Anybody see that? That got to be bad. If you use your tongue for anything other than praying and edifying God, you are using your weapon wrong. And James calls that weapon a world of iniquity. A fire that cannot be tamed when you use it wrong. So we're trying to get victory in our life, and every time we turn around, we're back at the starting block. Why? We have not yet learned Christ. Amen. I do want to, can we go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter, for a minute? Let's go here for 1 minute. Amen. Because Ephesians, the fourth chapter, I'm going to go over quite a few verses. I'll end here. I pray. Amen. But how many want victory?
Amen.
You got to use the right weapons. And now don't tell me what somebody has told you. That's why the Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God. A word written in these might be ashamed. But Ephesians 4, we're going to start at 17 verse. And I'll go through this quickly. Because if any of this you see yourself is not the new man, but it's the
old man.
Verse 17 reads, this I say, therefore, and testify where? In the Lord. That ye henceforth walk not as how? In the what? The imagination. So who's he writing this to? He's telling the church, I don't want you to walk like the unsaved, because when you walk like the unsaved, you walk in the vanity of your, you walk according to your imagination. You got to cast down imagination. All right, so you can't walk in the vanity of your mind. Having the understanding darkened, being when you're in your own imagination, you're alienated from the life of God. When you're in your own imagination, you go against God through the what? Ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, give themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. You know what I mean? You ever have people, see people going through stuff, you say, well, you got just what you deserve? No, you're past feeling. That's how the Gentiles walk. Amen. When Christ met anyone, even the woman that was called in the adultery, he had compassion. So your weapon that you should have is compassion. Your weapon you should have is gentleness. Your weapon you should have is meekness. He said, if you act like this, ye have not so learned Christ. You with me?
Yeah.
All right. Now, who wants victory? Who wants victory?
Amen.
Well, if you want victory, you got to learn Christ. Verse 18 said, verse, where am I? 21. If so be that you have heard him, then who are learning?
Christ.
The answer is Christ. Right? If it be so that you have heard him and have been he's teaching us. We are learning Christ. He's teaching us him as the truth is in that ye put off what? Concerning the what? The I want to be a new creature. I can't be a new creature if I got the old man still on, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be how renewed in the spirit of your mind. Be your mind, your mind is to be transformed. And then you put on the which after God is created in and true holiness. Wherefore put away, now we're identifying the things of our old man. Amen. So let's see if we find any of this old man still alive in us. The a transformation. We're not talking about being the same old man, but we want to be new. Let him that stole, but rather let him labor, working with his hand, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no, Lord, I thank you. I want to be a new creature. I can't let ugliness come out of my mouth. I can't let venom come out of my mouth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the youth of, that it may minister grace unto the hearer. And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all, then we're talking about who? The new man. We're talking about doing the things that are pleasing to God. Let all if you can't say something good, then don't say anything at all. Evil speak be put away from you with all malice, and be ye, we're trying to be on God's side. We're trying to fight the right way. We're trying to get victory. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now, in the book of Joel, it says the problem that the church has, he said, we're all doing the external stuff. We're all rending our garments. Joel said, this is not time to rend your garment, but now it's time to rend your heart. God wants a change of heart. Amen. And I want to close, promise. Mark 12 and verse 30. We're going to close there. How many want to use the right weapons? The greatest weapon that God gave any of us to use is love. Love is the greatest weapon. The Bible says, love will do what? Cover a multitude of sins. All right, so let's go to Mark, the 12th chapter, and we're going to start in the 30th verse. You all with me on this? I'll use up here because I don't write that scripture down. It says, if thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? Then we weapons. This is a weapon, yes. Love is a weapon. If you love right, people will treat you right. If you love wrong, people won't treat you right. So a lot of people say, I haven't found the right love. The problem is not the people. The problem is you need to learn to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first. You can't go any further till you get to the first commandment. This is the first commandment. You have to love God with everything you have. When you love God with everything what you have, then it trickles down to everybody else. But how can you love everybody else if you don't first love God? When that is the verse 31 says, and the second 31 and the second is like, thou shalt love. He said, all these two commandments. There are no greater commandment than these two. That you should love God and love who? Thy neighbor. The first and second commandment. I know we know all the other commandments. But these are the greatest. Jesus, when he was dealing with the Pharisees and Sadducees, he said, all the law hang on these two commandments. Everything about God comes from loving God and loving your neighbor. If you don't love God and love your neighbor, you're in the flesh. Right? You're walking carnally. It's time for us to use the right weapons. God has given us every weapon to use. The other weapon that we need to practice more of the really in Ephesians is forgiveness. How can God forgive us if we don't forgive others? Listen, these days I won't ask people to apologize to people that I ain't did nothing wrong to, because they thought I did something wrong. Because I want them to forgive me, and I'm going to forgive them. So my brother asked me a question once. We were in a situation, and this lady left, it's so ugly, so nasty, and everybody. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
I didn't know the lady. She was acting nasty and ugly, and everything she asked me to do, I did it. So a little while later, my brother said, well, my wife won't understand why you did that. I said, you know what? It's not about dealing with people all the time, right? We need to learn to love. We need to learn to be forgiven. If we don't forgive men their trespasses, the Bible says, how then what? God forgive us our trespasses. Forgiveness is important in the church. We've been fighting with the wrong weapons for too long. Now we need to learn Christ and use the weapons of forgiveness as we all stand. We need to learn Christ. Yeah, we didn't shout, laugh, and run. Amen. But it's more important. How many just want to be pleasing to God today? How can you please God when you walk contrary to God? How can you please God when you, everything you know about God is your imagination? You don't take time to study the Word of God to know what God wants you to do. Today is important for us to have a change. Rend your heart and not your garment. God is looking for someone that has a heart of flesh and not a heart of stone. It's all about change. It's all about surrendering our will. The greatest challenge that any of us will have today is to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto who? God. The rival of God is trying to please ourselves. Surrender to God. Use your weapons right. God will give you victory.